This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. We're going to discuss a little bit about this, the polling gap, if you will, between men, women, college educated, non-college educated. It is it's an eye-opening bit, but before I get to that, I want to do some emails and I want to make this final point on the court situation. Just off the top of my head, in the past few days, the courts have decided that USAID funding has to continue. The courts have decided that the rapists and murderers on their way to El Salvador should be brought back to your town. The courts have decided evil thing after evil thing, even the trannies in the military. Some judge came out because Trump tried to stop all that, and he said, no, they have to stay. And what we got yesterday was the Chief Justice, John Roberts, scolding Donald Trump for talking about impeaching them. Well, first, allow me to be Daddy Jesse. The judges are not going to be impeached. I'm sorry. I would love to impeach them, but please stop sending me emails. We just need to impeach them. We have a razor-thin majority in the House. We also need two-thirds of the Senate. We're not going to get close to two-thirds of the Senate, and the low-T GOP in the House is not going to impeach them. When you send, we just need to impeach them, you might as well just send, I hope the sky rains Skittles, because both of those things have the same chance of happening. So because they can't be impeached, we have to have, absolutely positively have to have, the Supreme Court step in and stop these judges. Can you expect that? Well, John Roberts came out and told Trump, basically scolded Trump instead of the judges. How will the Supreme Court rule on this? I don't know. But they will have to rule, and they will have to rule shortly. If they rule against us or don't rule, the Trump administration has a choice to make. And they're both bad choices. They can choose to ignore the judicial rulings and just move forward anyway, essentially defying the courts, or they can allow the courts, the communists that the Democrats have put on the benches, to stop any of the reforms you want done. Both of those are terrible options. What we're hearing out of the Trump administration, well, I'm not sure I know what they're thinking. Here was Caroline Leavitt on that today.
It's a clear effort by these judges to slow roll this president's agenda. And if you just look at the injunctions that this president has faced, deporting foreign terrorists from our homeland, hiring and firing of executive branch of employees, which when the president is the executive of the executive branch. You also see an injunction by a partisan activist judge when it comes to the Secretary of Defense trying to determine the readiness of our troops and the qualifications of our troops in our armed forces.
Okay.
Judges in this country are acting erroneously. We have judges who are acting as partisan activists from the bench. They are trying to dictate policy from the President of the United States. They are trying to clearly slow walk this administration's agenda, and it's unacceptable. As the President said last night, we will continue to comply with these court orders. We will continue to fight these battles in courts, but it's incredibly apparent.
I'm going to stop. I'm going to let her keep going in a moment. We are going to comply with the court orders and fight these battles in courts. I'm not saying that's a bad statement at this point in time. That's probably the smart move. Fight it in the courts while you can. She continues.
That there is a concerted effort by the far left to judge shop, to pick judges who are clearly acting as partisan activists from the bench in an attempt to derail this president's agenda. We will not allow that to happen. And not only are they usurping the will of the president and the chief executive of our country, but they are undermining the will of the American public, tens of millions of Americans who duly elected this president to implement the policies that are coming out of this White House.
We're going to comply. We're going to fight it in the courts, but we're not going to allow them to. I don't know where we're at, but I just wanted to leave this with this, and then we're going to move on through some emails and other things. If the Supreme Court rules against us, then we will truly find out in that moment whether Donald Trump is this unique, historic figure that will move America very, very far in the right direction, or is he just another guy who's going to get eaten alive by the system? We will find out the answer to that in the wake of the Supreme Court ruling against us. If they do. Look, I pray they don't. I just don't have a ton of faith in the Supreme Court. I pray they don't rule against us. If they do rule against us, Trump is going to be in a very, very difficult situation, and he's going to have to make a brutally hard choice. And you want to make it harder? I'll make it harder for him and you right now. The American public, they're already starting to pull these things. The American public, not you, but the public in general, they do not like the idea of the president defying the courts. It's completely unpopular. You know how Trump's super popular right now? For a modern era president, 52% approval is very popular. He's very popular. The people are happy. Norms are happy. All that stuff. That all goes away if he starts defying the courts. If the Supreme Court rules against us, he's going to have to make a brutal, brutal decision. Be a historic figure, try to save the country, or allow the communists to win. There you go. Jesse. So I says, dear Dr. Kelly, I want to preface this question by saying I'm a 24-year-old anti-communist. With all the talk of Khalil being deported, it makes me wonder, why are non-citizens attending U.S. universities? I know college is worthless, and I know the reason why it's so expensive is because the government subsidized it. That's right. But wouldn't making it so only U.S. citizens can attend make it more accessible and cheaper for the people of our country? Okay, first of all, yes, you're correct. If American universities were only for Americans, it would make it more accessible to Americans. That's correct. We've always, and we will always, want to educate some foreigners in our universities. Now, I need to clarify, what we have now is completely ridiculous. And I mean completely ridiculous. To know that we have hordes and hordes and hordes of foreigners on our campuses is insane. But bringing in people from other countries to not only educate them in America's university system, but introduce them to America's culture, it is part of how global diplomacy has always been done and will always be done. And we want that option with them too, right? And it's not that I could ever get in, but if I could have, let's just assume I wasn't an idiot and I got good grades. Me doing a semester at Oxford is a good thing. You want to strengthen those ties, learn their culture. It's a good thing in general. But of course, like so many other good things, it's been abused repeatedly by America's left, and now it's become this avenue to get a bunch of scumbags into our country as fast as possible. Our immigration system is so unbelievably broken. Hey, Jesse, you've had a number of great history stories, and now you've got me focused on logistics. You talked about Roman wars and battles and tens of thousands on both sides. I've only heard of, quote, camp followers in my readings of history, but how would the Roman Empire or army deal with early technology logistics? They must have had an entire town or city in some kind of proximity, right? You can't just pillage the surrounding communities with thousands upon thousands of hungry mouths to feed. You'd strip the entire landscape bare. Where did the food come from? Who cooked it? So on and so forth. This guy, he went on a very long email here, and it's all awesome. So, buddy, you did a good job. I just can't read the whole thing on the air. I'll give you a little tidbit about the Romans. I'm not going to do a ton of history here, but I'll give you a little tidbit about the Romans. You want to know one of the reasons the Roman Empire was so powerful? Roads. Isn't that the lamest thing you've ever heard in your life? Is that not the most anticlimactic answer ever? The Romans were emphatic about building roads in their empire. City to city, roads, 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 roads. We are used to living in modern America where there are roads everywhere, paved, gravel, whatever. There's a road wherever you're going. In the ancient world, that was not the case. The Romans realized, hey, let's get a nice wide road. Let's make sure it's secure. Goods can move to and fro way faster. I'll tell you what, I'll put one little finishing touch on this, and then we'll do this poll that I'm about to read you. Before we do that, I'm going to talk to you about Rome specifically. You know, before the age of Caligula and Nero and all those Roman empires, Rome was a republic. In fact, Julius Caesar existed right at that crossroads from when Rome was a republic into being an empire run by emperors. It's an unbelievably fascinating story, and it's so applicable to where we are right now as a country with this rotted government. The people are chafing against it, and so we're not sure. We want somebody to come save us. You want to go learn about it? I would highly suggest you go learn about it. Hillsdale will teach you about it for free. Did you know that? Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 online courses for free. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. Go learn about the Romans. I'll put a finishing touch on this. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are going to talk to Daniel Turner in about 10 minutes from now. Joe Biden pulled some fangs with natural gas, unsurprisingly, and Daniel wants to talk about that. Before we do that, though, so obviously I understand that I'm an offensive human being. I get that. I can't help it. It's how I was raised. I'm rude. I understand. And there are many things I say that make people angry. I get it. One thing I say a lot that makes people angry is men turn communist when they marry one. Women turn communist when they go to college. And whenever I say that, because people love to personalize things, and people love to apply everything to them, I'll get a flood of emails from dudes saying, I married a liberal and she hasn't changed me, or something along those lines. And we'll get a flood of parents. It's usually parents, not the women themselves, but we'll get a flood of parents. My daughter went to college and turned out fine. That's not true. I understand that there are exceptions to those things, but I'm going to read something to you, and it's staggering. And just understand the reasons for this. In the Soviet Union, they knew this to be true. In Mao's China, they knew it to be true. In Cambodia, Pol Pot's Cambodia, they knew it to be true. The most committed communist recruits, and frankly, most murderous, were young women. Why? It's not because women are bad or dumb or evil. It's nothing like that at all. Remember, communists learn how to use your values against you. Women, they help balance men out, and in that men are more likely to rebel against the norms of society. We're more a more rebellious type. A woman, to balance us out, is much more likely to conform or try to conform to the society around her. She wants to be viewed as kind and nice. How many times, if you're a woman, how many times have you said it? If you're a dude, how many times has your woman said it to you? Please don't embarrass me when you're walking into a party. You're laughing, right, Chris? Hey, Corey, has your wife ever said something like that to you? Yeah, mine too. Everybody, it's human nature. Why? Why'd she say that? She wants to be viewed as normal and nice. The problem is
young women when you send them to college in seeking out normalcy, in seeking out acceptance, get eaten alive by the communism on college campuses. I'm going to read you a few numbers here. This is a poll done by Steve Carnacki, NBC News. What's your opinion of Donald Trump? White men with no degree, plus 41. White men with college, plus 1. White women with no degree, plus 14. White women with college, negative 38. What's your opinion of J.D. Vance? White men, no degree, plus 36. White men with college, negative 1. White women with no degree, plus 8. White women with college, negative 38. I could go on and on down that list. I'll just do the white men with no college degree from now on to make it simpler. What's your opinion of the Republican Party? White men with no degree, plus 25. White women with college, negative 35. What's your opinion of DEI? You know, that evil cultural Marxism, anti-white racism is what it is. White men with no degree, negative 40. White women with college, plus 31. This is not to dunk on white women with college. This is for the parents and the young ladies out there. I'm not saying your little girl can't go to college. If you're a young lady, I'm not saying don't go to college. Sometimes in life, we have no choice but to do dangerous things. I've done dangerous things a million times in my life, sometimes by my own choice, but sometimes I had no choice, just living life. Sometimes you have to do dangerous things. Be careful. Be so, so careful. Know the day, it's not 1970. Oh, sweet, she got into, just pick your school. She got in, that's where she's going. You send your baby girl off to an American university, it's like throwing her in the gorilla enclosure in the zoo. Maybe she'll make it out, maybe she won't. But the longer she stays there, the greater the chances are you're never actually going to see your baby girl ever again. I'm not saying don't go. Maybe she wants to be a nurse or whatever, anything, whatever. CEO, I don't care what it is. Women go to college too, that's fine. Be so, so careful because these colleges eat these young women up alive. And don't make the mistake you're probably making right now. Not my girl. We've trained her well. Do you have any idea how many emails I have from parents who, quote, raised her well and lost her in 4 years? You're 18. As a woman or a man, your brain is still developing. Your values are still developing. You can have a rock-solid 18-year-old young lady, and what comes back to you? Some nutball lesbian who hates your guts. Be careful, all right? That's all I wanted to say. Let's talk to Daniel Turner about energy next.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Wednesday, a hump day. And you know what that intro music means. That means our good friend Daniel Turner with Power of the Future is about to drop some energy knowledge here on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Daniel, talk to me about Joe Biden and natural gas.
Oh, my gosh, Jesse, you know, his legacy won't die. His administration is over. And his legacy is going to last forever. If you recall, and your wonderful audience does, at the end of 2023, early 2024, Joe Biden announced, "Hey, we're going to pause natural gas exports. Right? We need to pause it. We need to do a study. We need to determine if our natural gas industry is affecting climate change." Huge news for the natural gas industry. You could argue it cost him the state of Pennsylvania because even the governor had to backtrack. But their useless Senator Bob Casey was, you know, asleep at the wheel and did nothing. And after Texas, Pennsylvania is the second largest producer. So it's a huge issue. Well, now it comes to light that there's a new Department of Energy, the Trump administration, that this so-called study that they had to commission to make these decisions had already been done, and they didn't like the results, so they just buried it. And that's what the Biden administration does. We know they did this on COVID, right? We know they did this on every study that came out about vaccine. Anything they don't like, they just bury it, and then they yell at people like you and me that you have to believe the science. You have to trust the experts. And I'm sorry, I love this administration and I'm very excited about what's happening, but I think we're at only about 15% level here. I think people need to go to jail on this. There's some idiot who was at the DOJ, at the Department of Energy, and it may have been the secretary herself, Jennifer Granholm, who got this study, who saw the results and said, yeah, we don't want that, bury it. Someone made that conscientious decision to lie to the American people, to deceive them, to lie to, in theory, the White House and the Biden administration. How many companies went bankrupt, right? How many natural gas guys lost their job? How many people that Christmas were like, well, crap, we can't buy gifts because I've been laid off for the last couple of months because the Biden administration has a pause on natural gas. And they knew the damn, oh, Jesse, I'm getting angry. They knew the damn truth and they purposely hid it from us because it wasn't the political result they wanted. So I think it's time the Trump administration and Pam Bondi start hauling people away in handcuffs and we start having trials because I'm sick and damn tired of the deep state doing this to us. And then we just say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. That happened. That was COVID. That was climate. And they get away with it over and over again.
Daniel, I share your anger. These people are monsters. I mean, honestly, we don't have to look further than the astronauts. They just left in space because they didn't want to work with Elon Musk. They're just freaking monsters. They're anti-humans. That's what they are. But I want you to nerd out for a second with me on natural gas. Help me understand, one, how plentiful is it? Do we have endless supplies? Is it very limited? Two, what is it actually used for? What are we powering with it? What can we power with it? Tell me about natural gas.
So the first question is, we know that we have in the current reserves around 400 years of reserve of natural gas at our current rate. And that number is very conservative because there are lots of places in the world we can't even do exploratory. They think one of the largest natural gas formations is outside of Monterey, California. Of course, no one is able to explore it. No one is able to tap into it and say, how much is actually here? Because California is an insane asylum. Even though Los Angelinos know this, they coexist with oil wells regularly. We've been drilling oil, you know, the La Brea tar pits, et cetera. We've been drilling oil from Los Angeles for longer than Los Angeles was Los Angeles. So there really isn't any threat, but it's California. So we don't know how much natural gas we actually have, but what we do know, we have centuries. And that's not just for us, that's for our allies as well. That's for the good guys. So that's the good part. The second part is, what do we do with it? Primarily, it is used, since it's very combustible, it's used to produce electricity, right? All of electricity requires electrons spinning at a rapid space. That's how you make electricity. We do this with our socks and a metal doorknob by getting electrons to move really fast, right? And you shock yourself. All electricity is getting electrons. How do you get these electrons to move? You need something normally that is combustible. So we either burn coal that boils water, that gets turbines to move, that creates electricity, or we burn natural gas that boils water, that we need to have things move. In the case of wind, it's the wind turbines themselves that move, which in theory sounds great, but sometimes the wind doesn't blow, and yet you still use electricity. So that's why wind is stupid, and we shouldn't use it. But then again, this is, you know, politics 2025. Second thing they do with natural gas besides produce electricity are hundreds of thousands of chemical compounds, most of them in pharmaceuticals and medicines. Most of the things you use to cure cancer or to fight cancer come from derivatives of natural gas. People way smarter than I will ever be play with those chemicals, and they turn it into products that save lives.
Daniel, if I could give you, if we were starting the Republic of Daniel Turner, it's again, speaking with Daniel Turner, Power of the Future, and I could give you unlimited amounts of natural gas or unlimited amounts of coal, what's better?
That is a tough question, because they do different things.
Okay,
right? So,
explain.
So there is coal that is used that we burn to make electricity, but there are different types of coal that we burn to make steel and to make cement. There's different types of coal that we burn at different temperatures for all of the metals and for smelting processes. And natural gas doesn't burn that hot. So we're never going to get rid of coal because, you know, the turbines that are used to produce electricity in a natural gas power plant were all forged with coal. So really, I mean, if I had to choose, Jesse, I would choose coal. Nothing replaces coal. And that's what, and that's the thing that's so funny about the stupidity of our elected leaders is they think they will replace it, but nothing can replace coal. We don't know how to make steel without coal. And yet we punish coal and then we see steel prices go up and then we wonder why we've, you know, why our construction costs down. Well, try getting a drill bit if you don't have coal. So I think coal, and I started Power of the Future because of coal miners, because they are the most disrespected class in America. So coal is always my first love.
No doubt about it. Daniel, the Trump administration, what aren't they doing well when it comes to energy?
I would pull a lot faster and a lot harder every single green dollar that is subsidizing failed technologies. And that's going to hurt. Whoa, Jesse, it is going to hurt. And I don't want to cause pain to the American people. And Donald Trump doesn't. So he knows if he pulls these green dollars that are subsidizing, for example, your Texas wind turbines, the electricity rates are going to skyrocket. And that's kind of why they put the subsidies in to begin with. You know, they know no politician will ever have the backbone to get rid of those subsidies. But all we're doing is prolonging the agony, right? All we're doing is just putting another patch on the spare and driving down the highway. And that's not a way to run a country. So that is the toughest thing. If anyone can do it, it's Donald Trump. One, because I think he's genuinely brave. And two, he's not up for re-election. But he knows the American people in that short term, which is going to be years, are going to suffer a lot. And he doesn't want to cause that suffering. And that's the evil of the green industry, right? They gave a system that will forever be indebted to the taxpayers. And can we ever undo it? I don't know. It's kind of like Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. All these government programs, once they start and people get hooked on them, they never get better. They never work. We just continue to subsidize them until we're bankrupt.
Yeah. The most addictive drug on the planet is taxpayer dollars. Daniel Turner, my friend, as always, thank you, brother. I appreciate you. All right. I need to talk to you about hiring somebody well. Hiring somebody good, I should say. Not well, good. You need to hire somebody good. Otherwise, you're constantly at a higher stress level than you should be. And I don't have to tell you this. You see what Chris does to me every single day. It's an elevated level of stress. That's not very nice, Chris. It's an elevated level of stress having to work with people like Chris. Do you have an empty desk at your job? You looking for that cook, that accountant, that secretary, that project manager? Stop stressing about it. Or do you have a dirt ball there, like me, that you need to replace? That's what ZipRecruiter is for. ZipRecruiter is there to find you the employee who's going to make your life easier, not harder. As I tell you all the time, that's your number one job, make your boss's life easier. Well, those people are on ZipRecruiter. And it's not as if you have to just sign up for an account and then hope. Most employers find someone the first day. They're sitting there waiting for you. You find one during the commercial break. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. And now, They have Zip Intro. You want to be introduced to somebody right away? ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, and we'll get back to those in a moment. But I'm going to touch again on that poll just briefly that I brought up beforehand about the shocking numbers of college-educated women and how they compare to every other group in the country. Non-college-educated women, men with college, men without college, college-educated women are the heartbeat of American communism. And if you're wondering why your liberal Aunt Peggy is 100% certain of things like a Russian collusion, she's 100% certain of things that are easily disprovable lies. It's probably because she went to college where her mind was completely destroyed. Now, I'll play you a little example here. The Associated Press, they essentially just invented a quote. Here's the quote. This is what they said. Gabbard, talking about DNI head Tulsi Gabbard, Gabbard says Trump and Putin are very good friends focused on strengthening ties. That's what the AP said. That's not what happened at all. Not at all. In fact, it was so bad, the AP had to retract the story. The Associated Press has withdrawn its story about U.S. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard saying Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin are very good friends. Gabbard was talking about Trump and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. The AP will publish a corrected version of the story. They just made it up. Oh, they weren't alone. Did you think your liberal Aunt Peggy only reads the AP? No, she probably watches MSNBC too. They all ran with the same lie. They had to go on air and correct
it. Before we go, though, last night we reported on excerpts of an interview between the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and an Indian TV news network in which she said that Trump was good friends with a world leader. We said that world leader was Vladimir Putin, but the full interview shows that Gabbard was referring to Trump and Indian Prime Minister Modi. Clear that up.
All right, quick note. Last night, The Last Word reported on excerpts of an interview between the Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, and an Indian TV news network in which she said Trump was good friends with a world leader. Now, we said that world leader was Vladimir Putin, but the full interview was subsequently released, and it showed that Gabbard was referring to Donald Trump and the Indian Prime Minister, Narendra Modi.
How many times have we told you the communist constructs a world of make-believe around their followers? And then the followers, they'll help keep it up. They'll help construct it as well. Once again, let's go to Soviet defector Yuri Bezmenov, who explained exactly why they do what they do and what the results are.
Ideological subversion is the slow process, which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, aktivne meroприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism. The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it.
Sound familiar at all? Be very, very careful what you do with your child. And it's not just young women. I point this out because young women are much more vulnerable on a college campus than a young man. But there are stories after stories after stories where young men go down the exact same road. Just be careful. These are not systems where they're learning reading, writing, and arithmetic. Remember those Weather Underground domestic terrorists? Everyone who's read the Anti-Communist Manifesto, available at jessekellybook.com. Everybody will remember the stories in there where we had all these violent communist domestic terrorists in this country, nail bombs, murder, terrorism everywhere. They're not all rotting in prison. Many of them are on campus as we speak, teaching Aiden, Jaden, and Braden how to become communist revolutionaries. And if you're not careful, you will spend 18 years raising up and caring for your child and send them off to college on your dime and lose them forever. Would there be anything worse than that? If that happened to one of my buddies, one of my little buddies, James or Luke, I don't think I'd be able to go on living. So this is me cautioning you and myself. In fact, speaking of fake news and lies, oh boy, do I have quite an example for that. I'll get to that in a moment. Before I play that for you, I'm going to get to this little bit. Nutrition. How long do you think you would live? What would your health be like if you ate fast food every meal? Everyone knows fast food is, yes, I admit, delicious, but it's empty calories. You get that. I get that. You probably wouldn't have a long life, would you? Well, that's why our dogs don't live very long. They eat empty calories for every meal. That's where Rough Greens steps in. Rough Greens is the all-natural nutritional supplement. You sprinkle it on your dog's food. Did I tell you naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black was a Green Beret? Did you know that? Yeah, we like Patriots on this show, and he loves dogs. We give it to Fred every single meal. Free Jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.